joined by the winner of today's Worth 400 here at Texas Motor Speedway, Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 AAA Ford from Team Penske. Joey, big win for you in that it's your first win with AAA on the car. What does that mean for you and the team?
Yeah, finally. you start to wonder if you're ever going to win for these guys, but you know, they've been a great partner of Team Penske and myself for the last 14 or so years, and yeah, it's been kind of heartbreaking being close quite a few times and never getting them in the victory lane. So it was a special one to be able to click one off for them and for the 22, right, to be able to, you know, after what happened last week, to be able to rebound and come right back. You know, it was a total 22 way of doing things. So proud of the team and give me a fast car, right? I have a really fast car. Just had to methodically pick them off throughout the race and have some good restarts there at the end and execute those parts of it and ultimately get the win. So it was an exciting last few laps. One particular moment going down the back straightaway was really, really sketchy, but yeah, I felt like I had to make that move and it was worth the risk.
All right, we'll open up to questions. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone. We'll start up here with Jerry and work down the row there.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. So you brought it up. Does this win erase the you know, negativity of last week with the disqualification?
I mean, there's always a story next week, right? So I told my wife last week before we left, I said, watch, we'll go win this one. Right? It's just how we do stuff, right? And anytime you kick us down, I feel like we come back 10 times harder and whatever that is in us. But we definitely had a fast car today. And like I said, it's nice to change the storyline.
And for you, you mentioned also the sketchiness on the back stretch, but the track in general, some of the drivers we talked to said you couldn't get up top. It was there's a lot of bumps. The track hasn't changed much since they've done it, other than, you know, as far as that aspect of it with the bumps and the integrity. There's still some PJ1, I guess, left up there. It's hard to race here. Is it something that they should look at yet, or is it just continue to status quo?
I mean, I think there was definitely. It's hard to pass, there's no doubt, but it's going to be hard to pass no matter where we go. All the cars are the same. How do you pass the car that's going the same speed as you, right? That's why everyone's willing to do something different to try to position ourselves up to the front to get clean air, and there's a lot of two-tire calls today and those type of things, but there was room to race, right? I mean, there was moments where the top lane in 1 and 2 was the dominant lane. You can go to the bottom and try that for a few laps. You can go back and forth and try different things. Yeah, 3 and 4, there were some cars that were able to run high. We were not one of them, but there was cars that could do that and make passes. So I really thought it became kind of pretty racy there at the end, you know, especially the second half of the race. I mean, I would say the majority of the races this weekend had a lot of big moments in them. So ultimately, I'd say it was a pretty good race weekend for Texas. I wouldn't take anything away from that.
Go ahead, Justin.
Justin Schuler, Athlon Sports. I guess you might have answered this, but I'll ask it a different way maybe if you didn't. Usually we hear from you guys that track position is so key with qualifying at these mile and a halves, but when you look at the top 10, top 12, it's almost like a complete inversion of the starting grid, except for Larson. So does that surprise you at all, or was that just kind of what you were talking about with like pit strategies with the two tires and how cautions fell?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some good cars that started towards the back. There were some moments where, you know, a couple of the good cars lost track position, whether it was from pit road penalties or wrecks, right? There's a lot of wrecks there at the end. There was moments like that, you know, shuffled the field a little bit. We just put four tires on every time. We never even swung the bat at two tires because the stall that we had with a 35 in front of us, we just felt like putting two tires on is asking for a crash on pit road because we'd be leaving when he's coming in. So, we just kept putting four on it and trying to methodically pick off a couple here and there. So we didn't really go for the haymaker pit strategy. We just kept it basic, and we felt like our car was fast enough to get up there. And, you know, honestly, I thought racing the top five, right? I didn't know if we were going to get to the lead. Our lap times were good enough to be in the lead, but we just took so long to get there. But, yeah, everything ended up working well.
Going to go to Bob and then Mark.
Bob Parker, Fox Sports. Did you tell your wife that there are going to be 10 drivers probably wrecking who'd wreck themselves?
I didn't tell her that part. I didn't know that. But I just know how the sport works, right? I mean, you can And that's why you got to just kind of brush some stuff off, right? Like last week, did it suck? Yeah, right? I mean, it's a long week, but you know that, you know, next Sunday presents the opportunity to for redemption. And, you know, we did that today.
When we saw several good drivers wreck, so how come you didn't?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a few reasons, and I don't drive their race cars, right? I mean, a lot of it could be set up choice. Others, you know, there's definitely guys that I think have the ability to drive their car a little bit more on edge, and they're willing to take that risk a little bit more at times. And that, you know, it's either going to be good for you or it's going to bite you. And that bump down in 3 and 4 is, it's brutal, right? And everybody's down on their rear limiters as much as they can be. And if you're a little free and it hits the limiter, it's gone, right? There's no opportunity to save it. So, right, I mean, you got to think of risk versus reward throughout the race, not just on pitch strategy, but when you're trying to pass somebody, how hard is it worth pushing it here to make a pass, and what's the ultimate goal? And there's times you got to push your limitations, and there's others you got to stay within reason. So, I mean, everybody does something different, but to answer your question, I can't say, like, why. I have some thoughts, but, you know, it goes into it, not just the driver, it's the setup as well.
Go to Mark on the far right.
Mark Garrow, PRN. Joey, you talked a moment ago about, you know, when you kick us, we have a way of just coming back. Where does that come from, and how do you build that? Not only, you know, you have it, but it's a cultural thing down through your team.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, anytime somebody says something about you, you can use it as motivation, whether it's good or bad, right? And when you have some negative comments last week and things like that, you kind of have a little chip on your shoulder, and that'll prove you wrong, right? Like, you kind of want to be that. You want that story. It's cool, right? And I mean, I don't feel like I put more effort in one week over the others, but I think subconsciously there's something that happens, right? Something that happens in the playoffs, or something that happens when someone says something to you, right? And I think everyone in here can probably relate to that at some point, right? If someone has something bad to say about an article you wrote, you're kind of like, oh, watch this, and maybe I'll write a better one, or I'll do something. I don't know what the next thing is for a reporter, but for us,
write a worse one.
Write a worse one. Write one about that person. But whatever that may be, a lot of times it just gives you a little extra motivation, a little chip on your shoulder, a little bit of, you know, want to shove it in their face a little bit.
So what does it mean to you now that, you know, you had a start the first 10 races, fast cars, nothing happening. Now you have the win. Now you're in the playoff. What does it mean to be in the playoff 11 races into the season?
Yeah, I went in today and said, man, I just want a solid one, right? Like, just something to build momentum. You want to, you know, we paid the price from last week in qualifying, going out early, and now you've got a bad pit stall. And it's like, okay, I just got to get some momentum going. Just got to, you know, top 10, top 5, and start clicking those off, getting some points. I need that. And then just found ourselves in position to win. So glad we capitalized on that. But yeah, the goal is to kind of get some momentum rolling. I feel like just kind of get some stuff going, some juices flowing again. But, yeah, turned out well.
Go to Chris in the back and then up here to Lee.
Chris Murdoch, NASCAR.com. The moment on the backstretch notwithstanding, a lot of people on pit road kind of commended Michael McDowell's two-tire car there at the end and were really almost taken aback that it worked so well. Were you surprised that two tires that late kind of stayed up front for as long as they did?
Well, it worked for a couple different reasons. One, he was able to get clean air in his car, right? Once you lose the clean air, the lack of grip will show up more. We saw that throughout the day. As soon as those two-tire cars got swallowed up by a couple cars, next thing you knew, they were all the way to back. Not all the way to back, but they would lose quicker. Michael did a great job at maintaining on restarts, getting the lead. You know, and you know, he was able to do a good job at defending that for a long time. So if there wasn't so many restarts, it wouldn't have looked as good as it did. You know, 40 to go was the last stop, right? 40-something to go. But there wasn't – but maybe 5 laps consecutive green flag, at one point there. It just kept caution. So, yeah, as we kind of just let him stay up there.
Goodly.
Lee Spencer, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Paul said you went with him to the dirt track last night.
I did.
I'm just kind of curious, building that kind of camaraderie, you guys are so close anyway, but to have that kind of camaraderie and just, you know, build on that, how important is it to the driver-crew chief relationship?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you just got to understand that you're on the same team, right? And Paul and I realized that hey, and I told him over the offseason, listen, I have weaknesses. There's a lot of things I need to be better at, and I need you to support me doing that. All right? I need you to help me overcome some of this, whether it's with the car. I'm going to ask you to do that or help me get better as a driver. You know, none of us are perfect, right? Everyone has strengths and weaknesses, and as long as you're on the same team working together, you can overcome a lot of things. And once I think everyone feels secure in their job, you're able to do that, right? No one's fighting for their job on our team. I feel like everybody does a good job at you know, supporting each other. That's the most important piece you can ask for on a team, I believe. So yeah, that was it was fun. I mean, I laugh because if you know Paul, like I know Paul, he's the most, I'm trying to say the right way, everything has to be just right for Paul. Like everything has to be clean. He gets upset if his drapes hang the wrong way in his house. Like, this is that type of guy. And so his son, Cade, started racing at Millbridge, and he's running dirt. And I laugh because I'm like, Paul, when we went to Bristol run on dirt, I was like, he does not like it. This is not who Paul is. And now he asked me to go to the dirt track. I'm like, what? So I just had to see that as I stood in the turn three on defense when the sprint cars went rolling off and blasted us with dirt. It was funny to me. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I mean, those guys are just BA, man. It's cool to watch just the speed that they carry. It's a totally different discipline, right? I mean, just trying to – you see what some of those guys do trying to switch back and forth from one to the other. It's such a different discipline to race a sprint car. I've never driven one, but, gosh, it just looks completely different. But it's fun to talk to them. They're all real nice people, too. It's cool. I mean, there was a want to do it for sure, but there's also I think about my family. I think about the position I have as a job. I think about my sponsors. I think about Roger Penske and think probably shouldn't be doing that. But it does look fun. There's no doubt about that. It looks fun. If you could take some of the risk away, I'd probably do it.
Do we have any final questions for Joey? Go in the back there.
Hi, Joey. Sean Folsom with thepodiumfinish.net. Joey, you've always been known for executing when it counts, and today was no exception. What did you and the 22 team figure out that made the difference in closing the deal at a track that can be so unpredictable?
No, I just think, if you look at the final restarts, at that point, you know, you're going off of what you had earlier in the race, you're going off of your prep work that you've done the whole time. So at that point, you know, you're not coming back down pit road. So it's just me and Coleman at that point. You know, it's up to us to make the right decisions on the racetrack, whether it's the choose or just the getting up through the gears and how to manage the first lap of a restart. So you just got to go back on everything that you've looked at and previous restarts of that race, but previous history of the race in general, and trying to make the right decisions.
And one final question, Stephen.
Joey, this is your 37th win, so you're not, you break a tie with Brad Keselowski, and now you're tied with Bobby Isaac for 23rd all time.
That's cool.
What does it mean to just keep rising and rising up the record books, and also to break that tie with Brad, considering, you know, how long you guys were teammates?
Yeah, it's really cool. I respect Brad as a driver a lot, even more so as a person, more than anything. So, you know, I consider a great friend of mine. You know, I don't think as many people I trust as much as I do in Brad. So, you know, it's cool that we go out there and race with each other still, and we're able to separate what we do on the racetrack and what our families are like. Yeah, it's neat to be racing against him, you know, for my whole career, right? We came in at the same time. you know. So, and I always say, right, I mean, he was a big part of getting me here to Team Penske, right? He was the one that told Roger that you need to get Joey to drive. And, you know, I owe that a lot to him for saying that. So, yeah, that's always neat. And obviously, Bobby Isaac is a legend in our sport. So, yeah, it's neat to keep climbing up through the record books. I don't look at it that often. It's cool to hear it, so thanks for telling me. But I feel like I still got a ways to go, so I don't look at it a whole bunch. But racking up stats are cool. You know, you don't know, you know, when your last win is or, you know, those type of things. But, you know, it's neat to rack them up. I always say there's more important things than just racking wins up. You got to do something with them afterwards and make sure you make an impact in people's lives the best way you can. But the wins definitely help do that.
All right, Joey, congratulations and good luck next week in Kansas.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.